Daf is Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. So we got to the last two lines of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a Brisa Tanya Rabbanan Vahibin Tzaron Vayomer Moshe. That parsha we've been talking about yesterday is Daf Parshas who asay Asala Kadosh Baruch Hu Simanios Milamala Ulamata. That there are Simanios or Simanim that are on the top of the bottom to separate it. What Simanim are there? We know that they're backwards Nuns. Why backwards Nuns? The Maharsha says because the letter Nun refers to a Nefila, something that falls. That's why Dor Melch didn't put the Eus Nun when writing Ashrei, it's a Nefila. So there were different Peronios, we'll see in a second, that took place. It was separating between different Peronios. So again, the Simanios Milamala Ulamata Lomar to teach me on top. Daf Kuf Tezai now, She'en Zemekoma. This is not the place. Vahibin Tzaron was misplaced on purpose. Rabbi Meir Omer, the Rebbe Omer, Lo Min Hashem Hu Zeh Elam Mipnei Shasev Rechashev Hu Bifnei Atzmo. While the Tanakhama holds that this is just saying that this is the wrong place, it should be somewhere else, Rebbe says, no, this was the right place, but this is actually a separate Sefer. It's a Sefer Bifnei Atzmo. It's actually there's seven Svarms according to Rebbe. We have Breishis, we have Shmos, and we have Vayikra, that's three, but Midbar is now broken into three different Svarms. The beginning before Vayim Tzaron, Vayim Tzaron itself, after Vayim Tzaron, that's three within Bamidbar, and then Devarim, that's a total of seven different Svarms, but this was actually the right place. Then the Gemara says, Kiman Azlaha, who does the following statement go like? The Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk found in Mishlei, it says, Chotzva Amudea Shiva, that they had chiseled out, they had fashioned seven different pillars, to reference to Elu Shiva Sifrei Torah, Kiman Kurebi. This says that there's seven Svarim, not Chamishe Chumshe Torah, there's Shiva Chumshe Torah, seven parts of the Torah, that's according to the position of Rebbe. There are a series of questions that they ask. Well, if really it's a separate Sefer, so there are a number of things that might be missing. How come there are no spaces in between every Sefer? We know between Breishis and Shmos, there are four spaces in the Torah. Why are there no spaces between Vayim Saron and the previous and the one to follow? So there are a series of different questions, but one interesting question that Kli Yakar asks is, how could you have a Sefer that doesn't have a mitzvah? The whole point of the Torah is to have a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah that's found in Vayim Saron? So it says a Kli Yakar, an incredible mitzvah. It talks about the chashivas of Peruvu. How so? Because the pasuk says "Uvenucha Yomar Shuvah Hashem Rivos Alfei Yisrael," referring to the myriads of Am Yisrael. That the din is that the Shechinah, the Gemara says, is only Shorah if they're going to be no less than 22,000 Yidden. So that's learned from the pasuk Rivos Alfei Yisrael. Rivos is 10,000, really two times Rivos is double. 20,000 plus Alpha Israel is another 2,000. So you need 22,000 Yidden for the Shechinah to be Shoras. So that shows you the importance, the Chashivas of Peruvu. That's the mitzvah insinuated by this parsha according to the Kli Yakar. The Gemara then says, Vayter, Man Tana, five lines down, Man Tana, the Palig Ale, the Rebbe. Who is the one who argues on Rebbe? It's Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, who, the Sanya, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Asida Parsha Zu Shetiaker, Mikan, V'tichase bimkomo, that this parsha in the future is going to be uprooted from its place and ridden in its proper place. V'lama kasukan, why was it misplaced here? Why was it placed here intentionally, but it was the wrong place? Just to serve as a barrier, says the Gemara. K'dei lahafsik bein peronos rishona l'peronos shniyah, to separate between the first mishap of Am Yisrael and the second one. What happened? Peronos shniyah, the second one, we're going backwards, the second one, mahi, what was it? They were complaining. What were they complaining about? Says Rashi, they're complaining they wanted meat, they wanted basar. And Peronos Rishona was the first one they complained about. Vayisu Me'ar Hashem, they're complaining about, they were tired. V'amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Shesaru Me'achri Hashem, they turned away from Hashem. So that's the Machlokas. It's a big discussion. What were really these two Peronos? Rashi says, again, it was requesting meat and complaining how tired they were. According to Tosu, look at Tosu on the top here. Tosu says, Peronos Rishona Vayisu, V'amar Rabbi Chanina, Shesaru Me'achri Hashem, Perish Bekunches Shema'az Hizchilu Lishol Basa. They started requesting for meat. V'omer Ri says, Dain nearly Cain, I don't agree with this. Ela Peronos Rishona, Kedamar B'medjish, Vayisu Shenosu Me'har Sinai. They traveled away from Har Sinai, Derech Shloshes Yom, three days worth. Kitino Kayotu Me'beis HaSefer Shebarechla. Like a child who runs home from school, from yeshiva, that was the first violation. They ran from Har Sinai, from a Kabbalah Satorah, like a child running to play, away from learning. V'holechlo. Kachayu Borchem Me'har Sinai, so too they ran from Har Sinai, Derech Shloshes Yom, Levi Shalomdu Harbe Torah B'Sinai. They learned so much. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Nismoch Peronos L'Peronos Lava. It's not correct. El nifsok parshas va'ibin Aaron. So says Tosos, the first violation was really running away from Har Sinai like a child runs away from school. Now, The Gemara then says, back in finishing this line, Vehechan Mekomo, where is the appropriate place? Amar Rav Ashi Bidigalm. This really should have been in the Digalm as they were traveling with the Mishkan. So Vahi Ben Tzaron was the center of the travelings of the Digalm, and that's really where it should have positioned. But they placed it here, Hashem placed it here, to serve again as a hefsek, as a barrier between these two different events. Sorry? No, it's not in the place of the Golem. It's not in the Psukim of the Golem. It's between Puranas. Rashi writes six or seven narrow lines down. Atida Asida Parsha Zula Asid Sheyuko Puranas Betalim. All Puranas will be batal. V'lo Yidagu L'Puranas, we will not be concerned of anything bad happening to us. V'yetahara batal will be batal, and therefore we're okay having a flow in the storyline of two Puranas happening back after back. That's not going to share us at all, because we're not concerned that any more is going to happen. It's really to help the reader, to help us from reading and learning it, not to be so scared of bad things happening. That won't be a concern anymore in the future when there'll be a batal of the Yetahara. Okay, the Gemara now says Vayter. Abai Lahu Hagilyonim shall say for Torah, Matzilin oso mipnei adaleka, o ein matzilin oso mipnei adaleka. The gilyonim, what's gilyonim? So Rashi says gilyonim are klapim chalakim, the smooth areas of the klap, the empty areas, the white part, where there's no writing on. Ukasakadaita hashta, the havamina at this stage is, the behold studden, shu chalakin kimibarle. All the sides of the Sefer Torah, and at the top and the bottom, the left and the right, where there's no writing, kigon chalak shilamala, shilamata, vishinimchak, kasva, vinasu chalak. So anywhere on the Sefer Torah where there's blank area, empty area, on the top of the writing, below the writing, that is what we're talking about. That area, those types of gilyonim, would they require being saved or not saved from a fire? So Gemara is going to clarify this question as it goes on. So Tashma, Sefer Torah Shibala, a Sefer Torah that's been worn out, Im Yesh Bo Lilakit Shmonim V'chamish Osios, if there's 85 letters to gather together throughout, dispersed throughout the Sefer Torah, Kagon Parshas Vayibin Soharon, which is 85 letters, Matilin, you should save it. Vimlav, and if it doesn't have 85 letters, it has less than that. Ein matzilin, you don't save it. Am I? Why? What about tepigle mishum gilyonim? Even if they are completely worn out, they're only 80 letters, let's say, it still isn't a cloth that's empty, and therefore isn't it shouldn't be a gilyonim. A gilyonim that are empty should be saved. Must be that tepigle mishum gilyonim. Therefore, we could conclude that gilyonim, the empty areas, the plain parts, the white areas of the cloth, is not worthy of anything. It's not really kadosh. Only where there are osios is the kedusha, but above or below are the sides where it's empty. That's not subject to any kedusha sefer Torah. Does not require saving. And the Gemara says no. That this brayis is only referring to didei. Again, tepigle mishum gilyonim didei bala shiny. When it wears out, it's different. Look at Rashi to explain. Bala shiny dechevin shebala afa gilyon batal. Once the letters have worn out, also the klaf is considered worn out. Why? Bala means not only that the letters, the osios, have worn out, even the cloth has worn out. So the cloth has lost its quality and therefore not right to be saved. We're talking about a situation where the cloth is intact, where it's kayamim, it's fully intact, except that the letters, the ink, kind of wore away. But the cloth is still intact. That's our shiloh. But bala, if it's completely worn down, that was never the shiloh. So when you have cloth that's intact, but there's no writing, would one have to save that from a delayka on Shabbos? So the Gemara says that Tashma, Sefer Torah Shenimchak, a Sefer Torah that was erased, Im Yesh Bo Lelakit Shmonim V'chamish Osios, if there's still 85 letters that have not been erased, could go in Parshas Vayibin Tzaharon, Matzilin, you save it, V'im Lav, if not, Ein Matzilin. V'amai, Tepigle Mishim Gilyon Didei. What about the Gilyon? Okay, granted that the letters have been erased, but we're talking about still the cloth. The Gilyon should still be worthy of being saved. So the Gemara says, Mishum Gilyon Didei. So the Gemara says, Maka Maksav Lo Kimibayle. We're not talking about Maka Maksav. Dechi Kadosh Agav Ksav Hu De Kadosh. Azo Ksav, Azo Le Kedush Asit. If it's Sefer Torah that it was used to be written on, so what gives something Kedusha is the letters. This is a very important idea the Nefesh HaChaim speaks about, actually. All Kedusha from this world emanates from Osios, from the letters of Hashem. We discussed last night with Sifsei Chayin, Ezra and I, and the others who were here last night. All Kedusha comes from Osios. So the difference between a Tashmishay Mitzvah and Tashmishay Kedusha is whether they're Osios. For example, a Lulav, a Tzitzis, that's Tashmishay Mitzvah. What makes a Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Kadosh? It's the Osios that are there, Osios. That's why, what gives a Kedusha the basic nesses? The fact that there's a Sefer Torah in the Aron, that gives us Kedusha, because there are Osios in the Sefer Torah. What gives the base of Mikdash Kedusha? Rav Chaim Mevilashin explains, the fact that the Aron Kodesh housed the Sefer Torah and the Luchos, the Osios is what gives it Kedusha. And even now that we know Chizkiah hid it underneath the Har Bayis, it still exists there somewhere. Had it been taken, the other pin that said it was taken to Rome, where there's no Aron anymore, then there would not be Kedusha. The only way Kedusha can exist is with the Osios that are there. So the Gemara says that the only thing that gives any Kedusha, any credence to the cloth, is the Osios. But if the Osios are erased, so then there's no Ksav, there's no Kedusha to the cloth either. So that was never the Shaila. If it was a Gilyon that was meant to be ridden on, so if there's no Ksav, there's no Kedusha. Ki Kami Barley, when was there a Shaila? Shelmala v'shelmata shebein parsha l'parsha shebein daf l'daf shebetchilas ha-sefer shebesof ha-sefer. When you have a sefer Torah that has osios, so there's kedusha to it. But we want to know, does that kedusha, once the osios establish this kedusha in the osios, does that extend also to the white areas as well that are above, below, and the sides? Will it be able to permeate to that areas as well? So the Gemara says, so tepik le mishum hahu. So maybe we should say, if you find these gilyonos, maybe the kedusha should spread up there, and there would be subject to saving on Shabbos those areas. And the Gemara says, "Hahu de gais v'shadeh." So if you look at Rashi to explain what's going on here, Rashi says, "V'tepik le mishum hahu de gais v'shadeh." Rashi says, "V'hachi perusha." This is the question: "Tepik le the afa gav de ein bo kedei lakit pehe osios." Even though you don't have 85 letters. So it must be that you don't save it. Mishani, the guys v'shadei shenechtechu hagilyonim v'lo nishar be'ela makom haksav. So we're talking about a situation that even though there are not 85 letters there, but there still are letters, when there are letters, there's still kedusha. Okay, granted, not 85 letters, but there are letters. Letters do have kedusha. And we should say that then, since in addition to the letters, there's also the gilyonim, you should be able to combine the letters plus the cloth on top and bottom as a whole amount of kedusha. So why don't you save it because you have the combination of the osios plus the cloth? And the Gemara says we're talking about where you cut off the extra layers of cloth on top. So all you really have is the osios themselves. And if you only have the osios and they're less than 85 letters, it does not warrant being saved. But if there are 85 letters, or if there are less than 85 letters, but you also have the extra cloth on top and bottom, it's implied from this Gemara that you would perhaps save it from the Dleika, but still it's not so clear whether or not that's true. We still don't know whether the Gilyonim can be mitzarif to the shear of Osios to add the Kedusha to it. So Gemara now says three wide lines down, Tashma. HaGilyonim, Shelmala v'Shelmata, the cloth above and below the Ksav, Shebein Parsha l'Parsha, Shebein Daf l'Daf, between the different parshas, between each page, Shebetchilas ha-sefer, Shebesof ha-sefer, Metamen es yadayim. So we see that in Metame, if you touch, not the osios, but if a person touches the cloth on top of the bottom, a person is Metame his hand. So this is a din we learned earlier in the Masechta about the din derabanan. If a person touches cloth, it's Tame. The reason why we said that, it was instituted because they used to store their kisvei kodesh with chuma, and then end up happening would be the rodents, the mice would come and eat the chuma, they end up ruining your sifrei Torah, your kisvei kodesh. So he said if you store the kisvei kodesh with chuma, that's going to be metame the chuma. They wouldn't want to do that, and then they extended it to when the hand touches it. Either way, there's a tuma when touching the cloth. So the Gemara says, if I touch the cloth, the gilyonim, the smooth area, I'm metame my hands. Must be that there's kedusha to this area, and therefore, if it's kedusha to the area, it requires matzilin nes yadayim. You have to save it on Shabbos. So Gemara says, no. Dilma agav sefer Torah shiny. Maybe it's only when the sefer Torah is intact. So then, since that sefer Torah itself, the osios, are matame my hands, so to the gilyonim, the cloth is as well. But we still don't know if you have if you don't have a sefer Torah, you just have the cloth alone. That we still don't know. If you just look at Rashi to explain this, Rashi says, Dilma agav sefer Torah. Shlo nimcha ksapa sefer, where the letters weren't erased, ela kula kaim, the entire sefer Torah is intact, zeh naga b'gilyonim, and then you touch the smooth areas, that's when it's metame. V'chimi bar ilon, our shaila that we're talking about is benimcha kasefer, when the sefer Torah is erased, not when it's bala, not when it's worn out, but when it's been erased, the ein kan kedusha ela mishum gilyon. The only kedusha left is the cloth, not the osios. Sheshimshu be'odakayim. That's the question. We want to know when there is no ksav, do gilyonim have a kedusha or not? So that's still an open question. So Gemara says, Tashma, Hagilyonim v'sifrei minim ein matzilin also mipnei adileika. You don't save them. Gilyonim you don't save, and you don't save sifrei minim written by apikorsim. Ella nisrafim bimkomum hein vaskaresem. You let those sifrim burn them, including even the shemus Hashem. You let burn as well. My love, gilyonim the sefer Torah. Does not mean the gilyonim of sefer Torah, meaning cloth that's been designated to be used for sifrei Torah that are empty, and we see that you don't have to save them from a fire. Gemara says no. Lo gilyonim de sifrei minim, that the empty cloth that are intended to be used by sifrei minim, that is what can be burned. But if you have cloth designated for sifrei Torah, that must be saved. So Gemara says hashta sifrei minim gufayu ein matzilin gilyonim ibai. If sifrei minim themselves you don't save, even though they might have Torah in them, but it was written by min, so you don't save those. So certainly, if an empty gilyon without any letters that were designated for a min, certainly that you wouldn't have to save either. What's the chiddush here?
But it's exactly the same sefer Torah, just who writes it.
Yeah, exactly. The Gemara said, I'll tell you in a second about something interesting. Hachi kamar, v'sifrei minim harei hein kil gilyon. No, we're saying it's not two statements. The svarim written by minim have the same din as gilyonim, meaning they're worthless, there's no kedusha to them, and therefore they let them burn. The din, the Gemara tells them, gittin, that if you have a sefer Torah that was written by a min, you would actually burn it. Not only do you let it burn, but you actually would burn it. So we'll see an interesting tosos in just a few moments. So the Gemara now says, Gufa. Ha-gilyonim, v'sifrei minim, ein matzilin olson mitnei adileika. You don't save it. If there's a fire in Shabbos, you won't save the sifrei minim. Even though it's a sefer Torah written by, it's everything, every pasuk is there, every letter is there. It was written by min, you let it burn. Rabbi Yossi Omer, b'chol, if it, we found it during the week, kodesh haskaros, you would actually remove the shemos Hashem. Shebehen, v'gonzon, and then bury those shemos Hashem, askaros, v'ashar the rest, the sore from the rest you would burn. So Amar Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon says, akapachas b'ni, some form of a shua, that she'im yavol li'aldi, if it came to my hand, shani esrof osam, ves askaros shebehen, I would burn that, and I would even burn the shemos Hashem there. She'afilu aldim rodev acharav lehorgo, the guy is chasing after you, one to kill him, v'nachash ratz la'achisho, or a snake is chasing one down to bite him, Nichnas the base of Avodah Zarah. You could go to Avodah Zarah, the A Nichnas the Batayan Shel Elu, but not to go into a let's say a reform or conservative shul. It's another discussion. Because Shahalu Makirin Vakofrin, Vahalu Ain Makirin Vakofrin. Because the base of Avodah Zarah, they don't know what's reality. They're raised that way. So if there's Pikuach Nefesh, you could go into the church. Even though we don't go into churches, Pikuach Nefesh, you're allowed to. But to go into a reform shul where they know it's right, and yet they reject it anyways, so then I would go far, far away. I would not, anything that comes from them, I would burn their Sifrei Torah. V'alein HaKasav Omer, about them, the Pasuk says, V'achar Delos, behind the door, V'amezuzah Samta Zichonecha. They place the mezuzah behind the door, they do everything backwards. That's everything they write, every mezuzah, every Sifrei Torah is all backwards, and it's worthy of being burned. The Gemara says further, Amr Bishmal Kavachomer. I've got a Kavachomer here. Ma lasos shalom bein ish li ishto, Amr Torah shemi, shenichta bekedusha yimchal hamayim. So that my name is a kadosh, and in order to preserve shalom bayis between a husband and wife by the sotakes, I'm willing to forego my name and let it be erased in the water. Halu, shematilin kina, v'eva, v'tachos bein yisrael avim shepishmayim. These sects of Jews, if you call them reform and whatnot, where they're trying to create barriers between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Achas kama, how much more so is HaKadosh Baruch Hu willing to allow his name to be erased and burned? So that was the understanding. Rabbi Shmuel says, burn Hashem's name to preserve the relationship between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'aleim Amar David, about such people, David said, Halo misanacha, the ones who hate you, Hashem esna, Hashem will hate. U'b'samkamamecha, those who stand up against you, eskoted, I will attack them. Tachlis sinna sinaisim loevim, those who hate you loevim hayoli, will be enemies to me, Hashem says, and I will take care of them. So they're not Jews who are lost. They're Jews who are our enemies, and you have to of course distinguish between different types of yidden. But those who are mean and those who are apikorsim, we have to get rid of immediately. And then the Gemara adds, "Ukushem shein matzilin also mipnei adileika, kach in matzilin also lo min hamapolos, lo min ha'maim, v'lo midvar hama'avdin." Any, not only fire is just an example, but any other form of destruction, we would not save sifrei minim from them. So if you take a look at Tosos here, Dibur Maschil sifrei minim, Amar Rabbi Tarfon, he quotes that Amar Omari Dimari benimsu b'yad min. If you found it in the hand of a min, the e kasan min, if they actually wrote it, then Ha'amar b'perak ha'shalech in Gittin, nimsa b'yad min, yiganez, Kasvo, min, if you find it in the hand of a min, you would bury it. Kasvo, min, if they actually write it, Yisraf, you would burn it. So we see that's what I mentioned before to you, Ricky, that if a min, if Apikoros write to save a Torah, you would burn it. If you find it in its hand, however, you would just put it in Geniza because you don't know who the author was. Now, the interesting question they ask here is, so that's the case. If you see it burning on Shabbos, so shouldn't you save it? Because maybe it wasn't written by Apikoros. All you know is that was in a Reform shul. But maybe they bought it from a sofer. So maybe because of the Suffolk Deraisa of having a Sefer Torah burn, maybe you should talk to save it. It's a Suffolk Deraisa L'chumr, because it might have been written. You don't know who wrote it. All you know is who owned it. But you don't know who wrote it. So the chant that was written by a from Yid, so now you're allowing it to be burned? So therefore you should save it. That's the question. How does Tosas allow them if it's a case of you just nimsa B'yad min, how do you not save it? So the answers they explain, there are a few different answers, but basically is some say, if it was found in the hand of the min, it's likely, it's not just a half-half, it's a very likely it was also written by a min. It's not really a suffix shuckle, and therefore we assume it was written by a min, and therefore we allow it to burn. We wouldn't go ahead and burn it ourselves, unless we know, but in the situation, if it's a passive case, we would let it burn with the likelihood of being written by a min. Now, interesting, Shvus Yaakov says, this whole discussion is only true of a Sefer Torah that was written by a min. But let's say if Torah Shebaal Peh that was written by a min, that you would actually save. And it becomes an interesting discussion, an overall discussion about the difference between Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebechsav, the ikr is about the ksiva and the ksav itself. So depending who wrote it is very of utmost importance. Who's giving a kedusha to it? Torah Shebaal Peh is not supposed to be read, or rather written or read. It's supposed to be Torah Shebaal Peh. So the writing is insignificant. And therefore, it's all about the yediyas, the knowledge base. So if I were to read Chumash not knowing what's going on, I'd be yotei mitzvah, because if I'm reading the ksav, the osios, that's the mitzvah of limud Torah of Torah Shebechsav. Torah Shebaal-Peh is all about yediyah, about knowing it. So regardless of who wrote the Torah Shebaal-Peh, as long as I'm learning something, I'm able to learn and gain from it. So this whole discussion is only Torah Shebechsav, because the ksiva was written by min. But Torah Shebaal-Peh, even though it's written by min, you could still save it, because there's still what to be learned, because it's the same Gemara that I have, the same Mishnah that you have, it's just a different author, the different person who printed it.
Does it have like zero, meaning the fact that it's burning, does it also mean that it has no Kedusha?
Yes, that's what it seems like. The fact that you allow it to burn would indicate there's no Kedusha. Exactly. So the Gemara now says, last seven lines of the Amud here, Bai Minei Yosef Bar Chanin Me Rabbi Abohu. Hani Sifrei De Be Avidim. What's Sifrei Be Avidim? If you look at Rashi, four lines up from the bottom here, Sfarm, at the end of the line, De Be Avidim, Sfarm Shekasu Lehen Haminim Lisvakeach in Yisrael. It was the certain books that they would use to debate the Jews, these big vikuchim they would have. A place of destruction where they destroy and the Jews, they'd have these big debates. So they have these books, how to research topics to fight the Yidden. So in there, they spoke about, they recorded the debates. So in it, you have the answers of the Rabbanim. They responded back. Yes, you had the priests answering, but you also had the rabbis answering. So included in these documentations were the Jewish answers. So there's some Kedusha, or maybe no, since it includes mostly of the Minim, or the Apikorsim, or the non-Jews, maybe you should be viewed as not Kedusha, and not save it on Shabbos. Rabbeinu Chananel had a different interpretation of what Beit Avidan was. He thought it was the Sfarim written by the other nations, other religions, because they also include Tanakh. Now, the Christians have the Old Testament, they also have the New Testament. But included is the Old Testament, the Chumash, so maybe that's what it's talking about according to Rabbeinu Chananel, but some type of Sefer that has a mix of Torah and other information. So what would you do with this on Shabbos? So the Gemara says again, Hani Sifrei Debe Avidan Matzilin Olsar Mipnei Adeleka Ein Matzilin. Would you save it or would you not? In Vilav Rafya Ba Diade. That's a phrase used by yes, no, and he wasn't really sure. Rafi means it was soft. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Amalek attacked us Birafidim. Rafidim means Rafya De Matorah. We were weak in learning. That made us vulnerable. So that's Lashon Rafi means we're weak in learning. When they asked the question to Rabbi Abahu, he was yes, no. He was like, go wishy washy. He said, I'm not sure. I don't know the answer. So Rav lo azel be'avidan. Rav refused to go to such a vikuach. He would not partake in this. He would not witness one of these debates. And the koshkein lebe nitzrefe. Certainly, he wouldn't go to a be nitzrefe. What's a be nitzrefe? Rashi says the avodah zarah itself. It's a name of avodah zarah. He would not enter into some type of base of avodah zarah. And the Gemara says Shmuel lebe nitzrefe lo azel. He would not go to avodah zarah house, but lebe avidan azel. He would go to one of these places of these debates. So Amrilei le Rava. They said to Rava, My time lo asis lebeavidan. They said to Rava once, why didn't you attend the big vikuach? Amalu, he says, dik la planya ika boorche. He was just trying to dodge the question. He said, yeah, there was some palm tree that was in the way. I couldn't get past it. He didn't want to go, but didn't want to say directly why he didn't go. So vikashule, it was hard for me to get there. Nakre duchte. So why don't you, uproot it, get rid of the tree. Kashali, it was hard to do so. Okay, he didn't want to address it directly, but he was thinking of excuses why he didn't want to attend such a place. So Mar Bar of Yosef Amar, Anaminayu, I am from one of those that to recognize, I've been to these vikuchim, I've witnessed them before. I'm not scared of them, I'm okay. Zimnachada one time, Azubahu Lisakune, but one time he went and they actually endangered him, they almost hurt him, they almost killed him. So it doesn't say afterwards what happened, but maybe he stopped going to the Vikuchim there because they were very dangerous places for the Jews to be. The Gemara then says, Ema Shalom Devesu, to Rabbi Eliezer, that was her name. She was Eva Nishmuel, she was the wife of Rabbi Eliezer. Ema Shalom was the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, and she was also the Achte, to Rabbi Gamliel, the sister of the great Nasi Rabbi Gamliel. Hava, and Hava Hahu Philosopher, a certain philosopher, the Shivavuse in her neighborhood, the Have Shakil Shema, he had a certain reputation which was incorrect, but he had created he fabricated a reputation about himself, the Lo Makabel Shochta, that he wouldn't accept Shochad. He was such an honest Dayan, he wouldn't take any bribery. But they knew this wasn't true, they wanted to prove him otherwise, and they wanted to expose him. So Bai Lachuche Bei, they wanted to kind of make fun of him and ridicule him. So what they did was, the Rebbe Gamliel and his sister had the plan, Bai Ailile Shraga de Dahava. She brought a menorah of gold for bribery. And she went with her brother to the din, to this individual, this philosopher. And Amrilei, she says to him, to the philosopher, the Dayan, Ba'ina de I want to divide this with my brother, the property. I want to divide the property of with my brother of our father. Our father passed away. Let's divide the property. Amrlu, so the philosopher says, Plugu, divide it evenly, the two, you and the brother and sister, divide it half and half. So Amrlu, Rabbi Gamliel says, Ksivlan, we have a pasuk in the Torah that says, B'makom bara, or explaining the pasuk at least, B'makom bara, brata lo tseris, in the makom of a ben, when there's a son who's an inheritor, the daughter has no chelik. So how do you say divide it in half? Amrlu, he says, Min yoma de galisin marachonin, the moment we were in Galus from our land of Eretz Yisrael, in Talisa, Araisa, the Moshe, the Sefer Torah of Moshe was taken away. We were given a replacement Sefer, a New Testament of some sort. It's written in this new Sefer, son and daughter both inherit together. So I'm passing based on this new book that I have. The Macha the next day, Hadar Ailei Iu Chamer Luva. The next day, Rabbi Gamliel brought in some white donkey as a form of shochad. He brought it to the philosopher. Amalei, so now he changed his psak. He had a continuation of this court case. Shvilis Lesefer, the Sefer. But if you look at the end of that Sefer I referred to yesterday, I didn't tell you the end of it. It says there, Ana lo lemifches min arayis de Moshe asisi. I'm not going to detract from the Sefer Torah of Moshe, and lo lo sifa al arayis de Moshe asisi. I'm not going to add on or detract from the Sefer Torah, and therefore, since it says in Moshe's Torah, uksiv be b'mokum bra barta lo seiris, then the place of a son, a daughter shouldn't inherit, so therefore, I'm going back on my psak, and really, Rabbi Gamliel should take everything. So then, Amrilei, she said to him, Nar Narech Kishraga, so she said the light of the menorah, a reference to the menorah that was given initially as the shochad, what happened to that? Because initially she had bribed him in the beginning of the conversation with that gold menorah. What happened to that? Amrilei, Rabbi Gamliel says there, Asa Chamer Devratash Lashraga, my white cat, my white donkey I gave him today, had knocked off your gold menorah you gave yesterday, and this was all to expose the bribery that he actually did take against the reputation that he had fabricated about himself. Okay, the Gemara now says, why this was here, I'm not entirely sure. I guess it has to do with Apikorsim and philosophers and Minim. That was probably why we brought this story here. The Gemara now says, "Umipnei ma ein karinba." Why don't we read Ksuvim on Shabbos? We mentioned this in the Mishnah the other day. The Mishnah had said we don't read Ksuvim on Shabbos. Mipnei bittel beis medrash. Because a bittel, what's a bittel beis medrash? Because the rabbi's giving a drasha, everyone's going to be learning Ksuvim, the fascinating stories of the five Megillas, the Esther, Daniel, Ezra, whatever they like there, and they're not going to go tend to the drasha, and they're going to miss out on an inspiration, they're going to miss out on learning halacha. So that's why they said no Ksuvim on Shabbos. It was too attractive for people to learn. So Amar Rav, Rav says, Lo Shana, this was only true, Ella, Bizman, Beis HaMedrash, only during Beis HaMedrash, meaning David asks, you can't learn Ksuvim at all on Shabbos? No, only Bishas, Beis HaMedrash, only during the time of the Beis HaMedrash, during the Shir, was it Asr? And Rashi explains here, Kodim Achila Hayudorsha, before the lunch was when they had the Drasha. So before the meal, which is called the Zman Beis HaMedrash, during the Drasha, you're not allowed to learn Ksuvim. Aval the Gemara says Shelo Bizman Beis HaMedrash. When it wasn't Bizman Beis HaMedrash, after lunchtime where they wouldn't have drushes anymore, the reason why there were no drushes, Rashi, is because they were drunk. Part of the drushes, again, very different than our drushes. Our drushes were our inspiration, hopefully. Their drushes were more halacha l'maisa. You can't paskin shilas if you're drunk. So they wouldn't give drushes, they wouldn't give shirim in the afternoon. So you can learn ksuvim, read through the nice, fascinating stories of ksuvim. So Bizman Beis HaMedrash, Aval Shelo Bizman Beis HaMedrash, current, that's a sheet of Rav. Shmuel says, "Afilu shalob is man beis medrash." Even if it wasn't the time beis medrash, even in the afternoon after lunch, ain't karn. You're not allowed to read. Ain't, is that really true? V'ha naharda asrei d'Shmuel. Naharda was the place, the location of Shmuel. Hava uben naharda paski sidra b'ksuvim b'minchasa d'shabasa. That they would paski the seder. What that means is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, one second here, they would learn right. Get the tight here, one second here.
Are you calling Parsha Bizman
Tefillah? Pishka Sidra means that not they would stop it, they would learn. They would paskin, not paskin halacha, but they would learn different pieces of the ksuvim in the afternoon, even in Shmuel's place. Ela'it marhachidma. If you'd say this, how you should say it. Amar Rav, lo shenu el b'makom beis medrash. It's only true if you are in the place of the beis medrash where they're learning. About shelo b'makom beis medrash. If you're not in the shul, you're at home, the koran, you're allowed to read. Just don't be in the shul, you know, open up a sefer while the rabbi is giving a drasha. Don't do that. Shmuel Amar, Bein B'Malkum Beis Medrash, Bein B'Malkum Shalom Beis Medrash, Bizman Beis Medrash Ein Karin. So whether you're in shul at the time or not in shul, if it's before Suda, you should not be learning Suva no matter where you are. Shalom Bizman Beis Medrash, if it's not this man of the teaching, if it's after lunchtime, then Karin, you can read whatever you want. And v'az the Shmuel Atame, b'naharda, piskei sidra, g'diksum, b'minachas, the Shabbasah. They have a regular Seder, Shabbos afternoon, in Ksuvim. So we see that you're allowed to learn Shalom Bezmanah Beis HaMedrash. Yeah. Exactly. They had a special mincha they read in the afternoon. There's a Tosos earlier in the Masech that talks about that. I don't remember when. I learned this in Rav Shechter's Kolel many years ago, and he asked some question to us. He always asks questions that nothing to do with the daf here. It has to do with the daf, but not on the daf. He asked some question about this Tosos, about reading this Haftorah in the afternoon. No one knew the answer because it wasn't here. It was a Gemara much earlier. What daf is it on? Yeah, the Gemara. Right. Kivi Eger here quotes Chavdalad. So we didn't look up the Kivi Eger. He quoted a Tosos there. So Tosos refers to this Haftorah that you mentioned. So the Gemara then says, Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi says, Li Olam Kedamar Meikar. Really, the initial presentation was correct, that Shmuel says you don't learn at all, Ksuvim on Shabbos. Ushmuel Krimi Nechemia. He holds like Krimi Nechemia, which is what? The Tanya. Afa Pisha Amru Kitzvei Kodesh Ein Korn Behen. Even though you can't read Kitzvei Kodesh, Aval Shonim Behen, Vidorshin Behen, you could learn from them, you could darshin them from them. Nitrach Lipsok, maybe Virobo, you could, you need a Paskin, you could look inside them. That would all be allowed. If you look, just look at, finish the Gemara, then we'll read Rashi in a second. Amru Binechemia, Binimnei, Ma Amru Kitzvei Kodesh Ein Korn Behen. Why can't you read them? They made a gzera that you shouldn't read from Kisve, from Ksuvim, that I would understand the following. If I can't read from Ksuvim, certainly I can't read from Shari Hadyotos. What's Shari Hadyotos? Newspapers would be a great example of Shari Hadyotos. If you have time, we'll learn a Tosos for other definitions. But they're trying to teach you a lesson that not because Ksuvim was anything against Bittul Beis Medrash, not because it's going to distract you from learning, rather to teach you a lesson that you shouldn't learn secular topics, read secular works, novels on Shabbos. So just look at Rashi to put everything together here, I think. Rashi writes, Ki Rabbi Nechemia, Amra Lemilsa, the less lay taima, Dein Karin, Mishim Bittel. It's not because of Bittel based magic that you can't read Ksuvim. Ella, Kadesh Yomu, people should say, if I can't read Ksuvim, which is Sifrei Tanakh, Kavachomer, certainly, Lishar Hedyotas, I shouldn't be able to read it. Me, however, Shmuel Hanahin Hig Bimkomo, in his particular place, Kadivre Chachamim, he passed like Chachamim. Meaning Shmuel only presented the Shita of Rabbi Nechemia. Personally, he passed like Chachamim, that the whole reason was Bittel based magic. So in the morning, during the Shas, base Medrash of Shas Drasha, that's when you can't do Ksuvim. In the afternoon, when there was no Shir, you'd be able to learn it. But he was just quoting Rabbi Nechami, who's a Das Yachid, that Ksuvim are also for a different reason, simply to teach me that you can't read Shtar Hedyotos. So now, establishing Shtar Hedyotos, why can you not read Shtar Hedyotos, or what is Shtar Hedyotos? So Rashi says Shtar Hedyotos are Kigon Shecheshbonos, reading your calculations, reading your bills. Those are Cheshbonos, those are Shtar Hedyotos. Oh, Igros Hashlochu, Shluchos Limot, Limto Chayfetz. You have certain letters that are being sent. So that also cannot be read on Shabbos. So there's a big discussion about reading mail on Shabbos. Tosas writes here, Koshakain Bishar Yadiotas, Perish Bekunches Igros. You can't read letters on Shabbos, Vitema. The Nagu Ha'olam Likros, Ksuvim, Biksavim, Vigros Hashlomim, Shluchim, Bimakum, Lamakum, Lutalzazam, Vada Shari. So people read all the time. We find, very interestingly, Tosos all over Shas, he always says, but people are doing it. He never says, well, it's Usr. Ah, people are doing it. Too bad, it's Usr. If people are doing it, he always understood it must be correct. And then he tried to justify why what they were doing was correct. He said, people do it L'maisim B'chol Yom, people read letters. So what's the definition of Shtar Hedyotos? It must be what they're doing is correct. It can't be a whole country of France is doing the wrong thing. So the Haruin Lotzer al Pitzluchas. He says, Vadai Lagabi Muksa, a letter's not Muksa because you can always cover, a cup up. You have some tea, you want to cover it, you could cover it with a paper. So it's certainly not Muksa. In terms of reading, however, you're allowed to read it as well. Venir Lari, the Lokari Shtar Hedyotos, what's Shtar Hedyotos? El Shtar Chovos, Kyotzben, only list of obligations, finances. That's what's Aser. Aval Igros, to read letters, that's Shtar, that's permitted. Why is it permitted? The Pamim Sheish Bam Bikuch Nefesh, sometimes there's something important they're going to tell you, leave town, people are coming to attack, whatever that might be. Who knows what they try to communicate to a person, so therefore it's Mutter because it may be Pikuch Nefesh. Vafilio Deh She'em Bo Bikuch Nefesh, even if you know for certain it's not. Still, Mutte Mati Rabbeinu Tam, the Lo Havi Shtar Hedyotos, came and Shein Tzarech Lamasha Kasaba, Fishiodea Masha Beigros, Vimeni Odea, Shemeishba Tzarekado. Because you don't really need what's there. So, this is part of a longer conversation. Ramosha doesn't think the head to Pikuch Nefesh applies anymore, because if they want to get in touch with you, they'll call you, they'll email you, they'll text you. No one's sending letters anymore to tell a person about Pikuch Nefesh, but this is where the conversation begins. What can be read? What cannot be read on Shabbos? Could you read history books? Could you read science books, math books? What's considered Shtar Hedyotos? What's not considered Shtar Hedyotos? Okay, let's do the Mishnah and finish the daf here. The Gemara now says, the Masnisin teaches us that Matzilin tik ha-sefer im ha-sefer. You could save a bag of the sefer with the sefer itself. It's considered an extension of the sefer. V'tik ha-tfilin im ha-tfilin. The tfilin with the tfilin bag can be saved as well. V'yava p'sheish besochen mals. Even though, let's say, the tik of tfilin has some money, some stuck money you want to use, you're allowed to save it, even though for tarach hedio, for tarach kavoa, you could save it still, even though there's money. U'lehechan matzilin al-son. Where do you save it? The mavoi sheinim of foolish. You send it to a mavoi, which is not foolish means it's passing through the whole way. Ain't foolish is where it's not passing through the whole way. We'll wait till I think tomorrow's daf to discuss that. And Ben Beser Omer Afamilim foolish. You can even save it to a mavoi that has a way to pass through entirely from one end to the other end. We'll ignore that mavoi issue for right now. So the Gemara now says we're going to have a brice and we'll stop. But the brice is really a way to set up a question on the Mishnah. But we'll wait for the question for tomorrow's daf. So Tanur Rabban, the brice says, Arba Asar Shechalios B'Shabbos. If you have the 14th of Nisan, the day of the Shechting and the Karban Pesach, it falls out on Shabbos. So Pesach is Matzah Shabbos, but Karban Pesach falls out of the Erev Pesach is Shabbos itself. So normally the way you do something on a weekday, if Erev Pesach is a weekday, you'd be mafshit, you'd skin the animal entirely. You shech the animal, you take off all the skin, and you start cooking it, roasting it, removing the fats. But if it falls out on Shabbos, you're limited to what you're able to accomplish. So on Shabbos, mafshitin es ha-Pesach anachaz, only until the chest area, divi Rabbi Yishmael. And then you remove the different fats when the area you opened up from the chest. And the Rabbi, that's Dibre Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Chachamim omrim mafshitin es kula, you skin the entire animal from head to toe. So Bishma, I understand the Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, deha is avid leitzar kavoa. For him, I understand why you only have to go down to the chest, because once you go down to the chest of the animal, it's enough open up to take out the fats you need to, and everything else is considered extra, unnecessary for Shabbat purposes. So that's why up until the chaz, it makes sense for Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. El Rabbanan, my time, why did they allow you to skin the entire animal? It's unnecessary. So Amar Rabba bar Rav Chana, bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Kra, the Pasuk says, Ko Pol Hashem l'ma'anehu, everything you do should be l'ma'anehu for him. Rashi says, l'chvodo, to honor him. And therefore, Hacham, my l'ma'anehu, Ika, What's the mane? What's the kavod here? By skinning the animal, what's this special kavod? So the Gemara explained the two opinions, what the kavod is, why one should skin the animal entirely. Rav Yosef Amar Shelo Yasriach, so it shouldn't spoil. If you leave the skin on, it's going to increase the heat of the dead animal, and it's going to have it spoil and go bad. If you skin it, it's more open to the air, and it's not going to spoil as quickly. So that's the kavod. Rav Amar Shelo Yukadshe Shemai Mutal Kinevela. If you have an animal that has the skin on it, it's dead with the head chopped off, that looks like a nevela. The carbonos are not with skin left on. If you remove the skin, it doesn't appear like a dead animal. It appears like a carbon, so because of the presentation of it, that's why you have to remove the entire skin. And these are both reasons that since it's for kavod of Hashem, kavod legavoa, you'd be able to continue to skin it even on Shabbos. So like Gemara says, "My benai, what's an afkamina? Whether the reason is shelo yasriach, or the reason is shelo you kachish maim mutalin kinevela." So the two afkaminas the Gemara tells us, "The manach aptura de dehavav." It's placed on a gold table, so that's not like an avela. So that will avoid the problem of it appearing like an avela. But in terms of shelo yasriach, if the skin is still on, it will still be a concern of yasriach. Or inami yoma dastana, or if it's a day that's a windy day, so that wind's going to prevent it from yasriach. So in terms of that, shelo yasriach isn't a concern. But in terms of the presentation, it's still on the floor in its skin. So these are two different nafkaminas in two different directions. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, hi Paul Hashem lemanei umay avilei. What does he do with this pasuk? Right, he says you leave it as is. You leave the skin up until the chest only. Ah, so what about the concerns of shelo yasriach? What about the concerns of shelo yukadshe shemayim mutal and kinevela? Isn't there a pasuk that says lemanei? Everything should be lechvodo. So the Gemara says, "My avrilei shelo yotzi has a murin kodem hafshatas ha'or." You should not remove the fat until you remove the skin first, at least partially. My taima, I'm Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Nasan mishum nimen. Because if you pull the fat out when the wool is still there, the skin is still there, there are going to be threads of wool that are going to be attached to the fat. That's not that's not kavodik. So remove the skin at least partially. This way, the fats can be removed, extracted in a way whereby the wool will not be stuck to it. Okay, we'll stop here. Mirat Hashem, we'll continue this tomorrow.